All right, good morning. So my presentation is a little bit different. I'm going to tell a story of advocacy rather than present a study to you all this morning. And this story of advocacy is one about food fights. How are nonprofit organizations interested in healthy eating working with or tousling with the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee and the Dietary Guidelines process? I have no relationships to disclose, but I do want to acknowledge my colleagues at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. It's really their story that I'm telling. It's a story that I've been engaged in, and I want to thank all my colleagues there from now and from before as well. All right, so first I need to tell you why a food fight about vegetarian diets in the Dietary Guidelines. Well, we've known now for quite a long time that there are some very good reasons that people choose vegetarian eating styles. Certainly the nutritional profile is strong. Vegetarian diets tend to be rich in nutrients that are known to be associated with better outcomes for chronic disease, and they're low in nutrients associated with increased risk of chronic disease as well. And I'm just going to share with you very briefly a quick summary of some of this work. Certainly, we've seen that vegetarians tend to weigh less than their non-vegetarian counterparts. Very low fat, but entirely vegetarian diets have been used successfully for weight loss, been used successfully to manage and treat and sometimes reverse type 2 diabetes. And vegans and vegetarians tend to have lower rates of type 2 diabetes, much lower rates of type 2 diabetes. Similar story in cardiovascular disease. Plant-based dietary interventions are effective. We've known this also for a long time, effective in lowering plasma cholesterol concentrations, and very low-fat vegetarian diets also have been used to reverse coronary heart disease by a number of researchers at this point. Similarly, with cancer and longevity, we see lower overall cancer risk with people consuming vegetarian diets. We've seen vegan diets be used to slow the progression of prostate cancer, and some newer evidence suggesting that vegetarian diets can actually extend life expectancy. So the evidence is strong and clear about the health benefits of vegetarian diets, but they are still not recommended in U.S. dietary guidance. And so the question I want to ask and the story I want to tell today maybe is a little bit about why that might be. A little bit of background. In 1977, just as I was starting high school, the U.S. Senate released dietary goals that included a recommendation, actually, to decrease the consumption of meat. At that time, the statement was strongly opposed, and the report was re-released with different language. And the language was, choose meats, poultry, and fish, which will reduce saturated fat intake. So they did two things, moved the language to away from reduced to something positive, and then move away from the food to the nutrient group of concern. Dr. Marion Nestle talks about our living in an eat more culture. And when you think about living in an eat more culture where we're pressed to consume more and more in order to support the food industry, you can see why maybe there's some problem with trying to give dietary guidance for diets that exclude specific foods. Vegetarian vegan diets are problematic because they by definition exclude meat and or dairy and eggs. So they present a challenge for people trying to create dietary guidance in this culture. So what are our opportunities to influence the dietary guidelines process? Well, there's a number of invited opportunities. You can nominate experts to serve on the committee, the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. You can submit written and oral comments during specific periods of time. You can attend some of the meetings, which some of the meetings are open meetings, and listen to the deliberations, and then comment on the deliberations. And then other tactics or things that people do is mobilize experts or the public to comment on specific issues that are being debated by the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committees. And this process is happening every 5 years. We can use media to reach the public or committee members. And in some cases, nonprofit organizations, PCRM is one of them, have filed lawsuits if the process is they think the process is being used unlawfully. So I want to go back 20 years, roughly, to PCRM's, one of their initial ways of weighing in on the dietary guidelines, which was to propose that the USDA replace the then current food groups with the new four food groups, which you can see pictured here. And in 1995 was sort of the first time that they were really trying to weigh in on the dietary guidelines process, and were suggesting revisions that would make the dietary guidelines more inclusive of vegetarian diets. And lo and behold, in the 1995 dietary guidelines, we do see the first mention of vegetarian diets. There's a section, this is directly out of the 1995 dietary guidelines document, that says, what about vegetarian diets? And they say that lacto-ovo-vegetarians enjoy excellent health, and then vegetarian diets are consistent with dietary guidelines for Americans and can meet your RDAs for nutrients. Okay. And then there's some cautionary language as well. They also, in 1995, briefly addressed vegan dietary patterns, including some more cautionary language, but also explaining what vegans are. And in 1995, they included good tables for sources of iron and calcium that included non-fortified foods from plant sources. Yay! Okay. What about in 2000? Well, shortly before the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, during the deliberations of the 2000 Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, PCRM experts published a study titled Racial Bias in Federal Nutrition Policy, and what they were talking about was the fact that the diets recommended in the dietary guidelines were not strong enough to address the racial racial disparities in health through nutritional patterns. And they were talking about the higher rates of lactose intolerance among Latinos and African Americans, and that our dietary guidance is suggesting to everyone and requiring for all reimbursable meals in schools for kids to take cow's milk. And so there's something there that feels like and looks like an injustice or a potential injustice. So in 1999, sort of taking another tact, PCRM filed a lawsuit against the USDA on the basis that six of the 11 individuals who made up the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee that time around had ties to the meat, dairy, and egg industry. And the concern was that that could potentially influence their advice and decisions. They did end up winning, in a sense, that lawsuit. But the part that they won was the part where there was not enough disclosure of those ties. They didn't end up changing any members of the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. And what was the language like in 2000 around vegetarian diets in the 2000 Dietary Guidelines? Well, this is kind of interesting. There are many different healthful eating patterns. Different people like different foods and like to prepare the same foods in different ways. Here's our racial bias, okay? But all you need to do is use the food guide pyramid as a starting point to shape your eating pattern and make choices from every major food group. but combine them however you like. If you happen to like Mexican food, you might have tortillas and beans, so forth. Okay. So some influence, but not exactly where we were headed. They also had language in there about avoiding food groups. If you usually avoid all foods from one or two of the food groups, be sure to give it enough nutrients from the other groups. So if you're avoiding a food group, say, for example, the dairy group, then you might want to look to other foods for for the nutrients that you would typically get from dairy. They still have the language from the 1995 guidelines about vegetarian diets can be consistent with the dietary guidelines. And they shift to the language of build your eating pattern on a variety of plant foods. Sounds a little bit like vegetarian dietary guidance, which is nice. They still have tables, but more of the non-fortified calcium and iron-rich foods have fallen off the table. So relative to the 2005 dietary guidelines, some of the advocacy efforts that were engaged in by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine and other nonprofit organizations were to attempt to make make nominations to the DGACs. To my knowledge, none of the vegetarian-focused nonprofit organizations have actually successfully placed a person on the DGAC, but they do make recommendations every year. They contested the committee makeup again on the grounds that a large number of the members had industry ties. They didn't use the lawsuit this time, just comments. They submitted official oral and written comments at each opportunity, encouraged and facilitated others to make oral and written comments, and in a particular effort to try to discourage the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee from making a recommendation to consume 2 servings of fish per week, they put this image on the side of a panel truck and drove it around the hotel where the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee meeting was happening, and also placed this in the Washington Post at that on the day of the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee was to meet. So the messages from the organization for the 2005 efforts were, again, focus on diets built from plant foods, and we added in fish should not be recommended, as well as a number of other messages. So what do we see in 2005? Well, in 2005, the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee report speaks about vegetarian choices and has some positive language. Vegetarians of all types can achieve recommended nutrient intakes through a careful selection of foods. We've got to be careful. I'm just going to diverge here for just a second. All of us have to be careful. Whether you are consuming a vegetarian diet, a vegan diet, an omnivorous diet, in order to meet our nutrient needs, we have to use some care. And there was some really quite good language about substitution for cow's milk and cow's milk products in the DGAC report. By the time you get to the consumer brochure, though, there is no mention of vegetarian diets in the consumer brochure. And the only foods recommended if you can't consume milk are lactose-free milk products or fortified foods. We've lost cabbage family vegetables. We've lost beans. We've lost other nutrient-rich foods that happen to also contain calcium. So in 2010, we kind of took a step back and started to think about another way to work with the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. We really focused in on continuing to build an evidence base and using evidence-based arguments, and also to focus on building coalitions between individuals and organizations to try to counter some of the efforts to create muddy nutritional advice. One of the things that we did was, I myself actually served on a conference panel at the International Vegetarian Nutrition Congress at Loma Linda, and published a joint paper on the importance of making the guidelines more food-based and more vegetarian diet inclusive. We also mobilized experts and others to urge the DGAC to do an evidence-based review of the benefits of vegetarian diets. We figured out in 2000 that this is what we had to do. We had to get those questions on the list of questions for which they were doing evidence-based reviews. Because if the word vegetarian is not in there, they're not going to look at those studies. Okay. And remarkably, and if you can still go back and look at the view comments, the first like 3 pages of view comments, I'd say 80% of the comments are, please ask a question about vegetarian diets in some version or another. And they ask these questions. How does a vegan diet compare to an animal-based diet? What are the health impacts of dairy consumption? And how do the health outcomes of a plant-based diet compare with an animal-based diet? And we got some really good information in the DGAC report in 2010 that allowed us how vegetarian eating patterns have been associated with improved health outcomes. So are vegetarian diets recommended in 2010? No. but we do still have that language of shift food intake patterns to a more plant-based diet. And there is a little bit more attention paid to where you get saturated solid fats. They've changed from saturated fat to solid fats. Where you can get solid fats in your diet. A lot of them happen to be foods that contain foods from animal sources. And we did get some dietary pattern advice. The DGAC recommended the DASH diet and the Mediterranean dietary patterns, and does include two appendices on how you could adapt USDA dietary patterns to vegetarian and vegan forms. So in my mind, the food fight is not over. I did want to point out to you this interesting convergence of the 1991 new four food groups and MyPlate. And in conclusion, just say that if the dietary guidelines encourage Americans to focus on eating a healthful diet, then vegetarian diets should be recommended as a dietary pattern by the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. Thank you very much. Thank you.